Well, we would like the Lord to help us this morning to bring a little of His Word. Maybe our soul is hungry this morning. We just pray that the Lord would feed it and fill it. He can do that just from a Scripture. I was thinking about Colossians again. I know we have either started or close to started the last couple of Sundays out of there. And I want to look at the third chapter again and begin with the first verse. It says here, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." I want us to think just a little bit this morning about, and in a little different way, setting our affection on things above and setting our affection on the world of the Lord, if I can call it that. You know, there are different spheres and different ways of expressing things, but you know, the Lord has a place and a way where God is, and He would like for us to find Him there, and He would like for us to seek Him there. And He tells us here to set our affection on things above. I want to look at a scripture in 1 Timothy 6 and 11. Ask the Lord to meet with us here. He said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." You know, I think the Lord kind of enumerates a little bit out for us there what He's talking about when He says, seek those things which are above. He tells us to flee some things, and I want to come back and read some of that. But He says, follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. You know, these are all things that I think probably most all of us would like to have a real generous share in our life. Well, the Lord would like for us too. And He tells us, I want you to find those things, and I want you to look after them, and I want you to set your affection on those things that are above, the things that come from God. I want to just look a little bit about some of the things here that's mentioned. Maybe I'll read just a little bit from Clark's here, a short passage. He says here, follow after righteousness, justice and uprightness in all thy dealings with men, godliness, a thorough conformity to the image of God, and mind of Christ. You know, the Lord would like for us to follow hard after those kind of things. He says here, a thorough conformity to the image of God and mind of Christ. Faith in Jesus and in all that He has spoken, and fidelity to the talents thou hast received and the office with which thou art entrusted. And He says here, love to God and all mankind, patience in all trials and afflictions, meekness, bearing up with an even mind under all adversities and contradictions. You know, you can read that list off and say, yeah, we ought to seek after those things, and then it's gone from us. But you know, when you start breaking those things down just a little bit, you realize what a challenge this is, and what grace we need from God, and what strength we need from the Lord to be able to have some of these elements in our life. And He says here, when it talks about love to God and all mankind, that's probably pretty easy for most of us, for most people. But then there's a few situations where we have some trials, don't we? And some things that we have to dig a little deeper and get a little more of the mind of God that gives to all men generously. Without any partiality, the Lord does that. And so as we begin to take these things into our life and seek after the things of God, it begins to make us into the image of Christ. And it begins to make us conform to the ways of the Lord. I wanted to read Webster's. Well, first, patience in the Greek says cheerful or hopeful endurance, constancy, enduring, patient. Patience, patient continuance or waiting. Webster says the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. That's what patience, that's the Webster's on patience. Patience may spring from constitutional fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to the divine will. So I just want us to think a little bit this morning of how the Lord has challenged us, and I felt like the Lord gave me these verses to start with, that this is the sphere the Lord wants us to work in. He would like for His will and for our life to conform to the image of Christ. Well, we all read about Christ, we all read about His doings, and we see the patience that He had, we see the fortitude He had, we see the strength and the blessing that the Lord had, and we're challenged by that. But I'm thinking this morning that there are some real enemies to you and I receiving from the Lord the things that He wants to put in our life. These blessings that the Lord wants and that He's told us to seek after and that He wants to flood our lives with, these things have some enemies. The devil himself is set against you and I having patience. He's set against us being loving to everybody. You know, if he can just get in there and work in some way, then he can upset all kinds of things. The enemy sees the value of those things. So I want to look a little bit at some of the ways that I just want to share with you this morning. I just felt like the Lord gave me some scriptures, and I want to share those with you. In Luke, the 8th chapter, and 14 and 15, and that which fell among thorns, this is the parable of the sower, and we know that some fell by the wayside, and you know, then some fell on a rock, but that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection or to maturity. They don't bring fruit, that thing that God wants to grow in our life, and the blessings that the Lord wants to put in our life never come to perfection because there's some things that choke it out and make it unable to bear that kind of fruit that the Lord would like for us to bear. So I want us to think a little bit about some of these things this morning, and I'd like for us to consider these things, not because I would say them, but the Word of God is very, very definite and very strong about some of these things. Jesus Himself is the one that gave this parable, and He told us here that that which fell, the seed, the Word of God, fell among thorns. And it says, which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked. Those thorns grow up. Those thorns won't allow the Word to do what it's meant to do because they inhibit its growth. And so, it identifies these things as saying cares and riches and pleasures of this life. You know, a lot of the things in life that war against our soul can be contained right here in these three things. Many of the things can be. Cares and riches and pleasures. In 1 John 2 and 15, I know we've read that several times lately too, it says here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, there is the world of God, if I can say it that way. There is the sphere that the Lord inhabits, the place that He dwells in, the place of God's presence, the place that He gives of the fruits that He wants to give to us. There is that place, and it is a wonderful place. But you know, that's not the only sphere of influence. That's not the only sphere that we have out there calling for our affections and our time and the things that we would give it. It says, love not the world. And I want us to think a little bit this morning about what the world is. Neither the things that are in the world. You know, it's not just the spirit of the world, but it's some of the things that are in the world as well. Some of the things that come along. So, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In 2 Timothy 4, and 10, I'm going to look at another verse here. We're interested in becoming healthy spiritually and allowing God to work within us that work that He wants to do that draws us real close to Him, that gives us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. I've been seeking the Lord for myself. I will tell you, I have been earnestly seeking the Lord. I want to draw close to Him. I want to know, Lord, what are the things that would keep me from that? And so I believe the Lord's been talking to us about some things. It says here, 4 and 10 of 2 Timothy, "For Demas hath forsaken me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." That's just the first part of the verse. What was he talking about? That Demas loved this present world. You know, I wonder what it was that Demas loved. It doesn't say, and I don't think it ever does say, but Demas loved this present world. I wonder if he got so enveloped in the cares of life. I wonder if he just got under everything and had so many things going that he squeezed out God. I don't know what it is. He departed from Paul. He was working with the Apostle Paul, witnessing the miracles that was being done. And it says that he forsook him because he loved the present world. I wonder if he always had a dream of being rich, that he wanted that so bad that he wasn't. I want that. And he went after that. He gave his affections to it. I wonder if it was just pleasures. Maybe he was a young man and he saw the world out there and it glittered and the, you know, all the things that went with it. I wonder if it just pulled on him. I wonder what Demas's thing was. I wonder what he went after. What it was that he let his heart out to. And you don't hear of him much after this. You don't hear of Demas growing. You don't hear of his ministry. You don't hear of God using his life. I wonder where he is today. I wonder if Demas finally got his bearings back and returned to the Lord and found out there isn't anything out here in this place that I'm looking for it. I hope he's in heaven today. I hope he's not in hell today after all these years. I hope Demas made things right. But, you know, we don't know what it was that he forsook the Lord to. I want to look at several issues. And I want to start in 1 Timothy 6 and 7 and read some things here, because the Lord gives us real specific words about some things, real specific admonition. I think about one time of Brother Ed Wilson, in fact. He was a carpenter too and used to carpenter around this area. He told me one time, he said, "The table saw will never be your friend." He said, "I don't care how many years you've used it, you better always respect it, because if you don't, it'll cut your finger off just as fast after you've used it for 15 years as it would have the first day you met it." You know, that's the way it is, and it's true. It's dangerous. It's a thing that we better always respect, always know. Great danger right here. Although I've made many cabinets from my table saws and enjoyed making them and saw things happen, wonderful things happen out of it, I always recognize when I turn that thing on, if I don't watch my fingers, I'll get one cut off in that table saw. That's just the way it is. So I want us to think this morning, when the Lord gives us admonition, we want to recognize danger. Great danger here. I can get my hand cut off. I can lose my life with this thing. On jobs, we find, especially when you go out to commercial jobs and things, you have to attend safety meetings. Sometimes you have to, especially big equipment and things like that. We was on a job one time and I saw a commotion happening and there was a fellow laying down there. And that fellow lost his life that day because there was a big crane and something swung down and hit him in the head, I believe. And he lost his life. Just, you know, a little error, probably wasn't supposed to be where he was, but somebody wasn't quite cautious enough. And so here this morning in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7 it says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." I think we all know that. "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." I want us to notice the words the descriptive words that are given to us here. It says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. A snare is something made to capture something. That's what it is. And I think about this morning, I know that money in itself is not wrong. But you know what? It is something that is very dangerous for us to handle. We have to have it. And there's times that God blesses people with it. And He blesses them. They didn't go seeking it as the gist of their life. They didn't do that. God blessed them with it, and it's been a blessing to many people. I recognize that. It does not decrease the danger of it. But I just want us to think this morning about having our affections on things above. And then if God blesses us with whatever He blesses us with, oh, what a blessing that can be. Oh, what a blessing that can be to many people when God blesses us with something. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Oh, don't let our affections go out to these kind of things. Don't let ourselves think, this is where it's at. This is my dream. This is my hope. I got to have more. You know what we do when we do that? We set ourselves up to fall into a snare. To fall into, suddenly we're caught. And when we're caught, you really many times cannot get yourself out of something. It's something that somebody else has to release for you to be able to get loose many times. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Many foolish and hurtful. Why? Because it's what comes along with it. The ability to have so many things. You know, it's a danger. And the Lord has warned us here, this table saw is very dangerous. Don't let it cut your hand off. Keep your hand back from it. Keep your affections back from it. Don't let it cause you to do things and have things that will cause you trouble in your soul. And in the many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men. There is another very descriptive word, drown. What does that mean? I think we all know what drown means. It's a very horrible word. But it says there, drown men in destruction and perdition, which is like destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through, another descriptive word, pierced themselves through, been stabbed with a sword, been shot with an arrow, been some way pierced through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. This is the words of the apostle. Follow after those things. Oh, Timothy, don't be sidetracked. Is it possible for Timothy to be sidetracked? Evidently it was. Paul was writing here to him. He says here, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Oh, how we want to lay hold on eternal life. How we want to have eternal life. That's one of those things that we should seek from above. That's something above, something that we can have one day. Oh, let us seek it with all of our heart. Let us make that the crux of all that our life is about. Eternal life, eternal life. We read in Pilgrim's Progress where one plugged his ears and he ran crying, eternal life, eternal life. That was what he wanted. That was the very everything about where his life centered upon. Eternal life. I want eternal life in my soul. You know, as we follow the Lord and allow His Word to sink into our lives, into our hearts, oh, one day, all the troubles, the trials that the sister was talking about, they'll be over one day. And if we've kept our faith fixed, if we've kept our nose to the ground, to the scent, to the trail, and we've followed after the Lord with all of our heart, and sought those things which are above, you know what? There's going to be a crown laid up for us, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to all those that love His appearing. Lord, help us this morning that we will not ever be sidetracked on anything. I was thinking about as we love the world more, and I'm going to read a little bit from my notes right now. As we love the world more, we will naturally move just that far away from the other world. When we love one world, we simply begin to move away from another world. That's the way it is. But I think in myself, I believe that it compounds. It not only you move that far away, but you actually move farther away, because I believe it compounds. It's not just the distance you move. In the center of the world, and I think the reason that is because if we move from, say, the world of following after God, and our affections begin to draw out after other things, then other things begin to happen, lethargy. All those kind of things, discouragement. We begin to look on things besides the Lord. All of a sudden it compounds. What is it? Why do I have no desire? Maybe we've began to slip into a little bit of the world. Maybe our affections have began to go out after another world. And that can be many things. The lust of the flesh, the strong desires after the things of the world. It can be anything, not just money, not just pleasures, not just cares. It can be so many things that will draw us out. And pretty soon, we find a spiritual apathy. In the center of the world, in the center of the world, as the Bible speaks of the world, we find the world's admiration. We find its pride and its vanity. We find that in the center of the world. Do you know that as you go into the world, it boosts you up? And you begin to feel yourself pulled and sucked by that gravity into the center of that thing, and it begins to move you on and move you into that arena. But what's happening when we're doing that is we're moving out of that sphere of God. We're moving out of that place of spiritual strength, of spiritual fervor, of those things that are alive within us and wanting to do God's will, full of zeal and full of the Holy Ghost. Those things come at a price. And as we begin to look toward the world a little bit in our life, just that much, and then the compounding of it begins to move us away from God. I want to encourage us this morning that we love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind and strength. We find a struggle going on between the flesh and the spirit. Because we're in this body, there will always be a certain amount of struggle. We will feel the pull of the world. I don't understand gravity. That's one thing I do not really fully understand. I don't understand how the moon can affect the earth like it does. Strong tides sometimes. Strong tides. When the moon and the sun line up in a certain way, the tides are huge in certain areas of the earth, like up to 50 feet or more. In some places, I was reading one time. You know, I don't understand that. The moon is way out there. It's hundreds of thousands of miles out, and yet it affects us. The sun, millions of miles out there. How does it affect us? There's no connection. It's space. There's nothing there, and yet it does affect us. You know, we have to recognize the pulls that happen around us, they will affect us. We will feel that pull, and we have to make choices. There's things we have to just decide. I'm not going there. You know what? I know I feel the pull. I do feel the pull. I do feel it. I feel the pull from it. But I'm going to choose not to go in that direction. And so we allow the Lord to pull us back. If we reach out for this world's goods, this world's pleasures, you know, I think about the numbing that begins to happen and the apathy that begins to happen with people in their spiritual lives. Now, this don't make any sense unless you really want to serve God with all of your heart and you want spiritual fervor and zeal in your life. Then it makes sense. But I think about the men and women in our past that have taught us, that have left us some landmarks, as we heard this morning, that have left some things for us. Many times they shied away from the entertainments of the world as we see it all around us. They shied away from those things. And many times you cannot look at one of those things and say, well, this, this, and this is what's wrong. Now, some of them you can say, yes, there's there's lifestyles involved, there's this involved, there's that involved. But what happens, and sometimes it's a little bit hard to discern why. Why does it happen? It's a different world. It's a different world. And what is good in one context, when we allow it to go to a professional level, when we allow things to begin to be centered in upon, and the world loves those things. You know what? When we partake of those things, maybe we can't explain every aspect, but there's one thing I know. We'll feel a spiritual numbness inside. And when we want to draw close to the Lord and we want answers, we're not going to find them sometimes. I believe that. I believe that's the Word of God. There's a spiritual numbing that begins to happen as we begin to move to the entertainments and the pleasures of the world. And I want to ask us this morning, the things that we hear preached from time to time, let's set them aside. The things that we've been told, I've seen the numbness that comes, and all of a sudden the lack of judgment, spiritual judgment, the kind that draws you close to God, the kind that makes you in fellowship with the Lord, we begin to see that spiritual growth. These things are very contrary to spiritual growth. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know, there are thieves that come up around us, and we could mention many things, and I do mention things from time to time. I don't feel so inclined this morning, but you know, there are, it says the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Now he's talking about spiritual life. I'm come that they might have a vibrance in their spirit, a love for God, something that's going to carry them over the threshold of death into heaven. You know, I want my title to be clear at that time. I don't want there to be a spiritual numbness in my life. And so he says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to destroy our soul. He wants to steal our spiritual victory and fervor and that love for God that would say anything, Lord, anything. Anything you ask, that's exactly what I want to do. You know, the devil wants to steal that this morning. So I just want to leave us with, I'm not done yet, but John 17, I'm going to read another few scriptures. John 17:15-16 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You know, the Lord didn't pray. This is Jesus. And he says, I don't pray that you would take them out of the world. I don't pray that way. Lord, just keep them from the evil. You know, he goes on to say here, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to handle the table saw that He gives us, not that we go out and get. He wants us to be able to handle it in such a way that it produces many beautiful works. God would like that to happen. The Lord would like for our life to be submitted to God, that He can use it and that it can be a blessing to us. The pleasures of life. I want to encourage us this morning, don't get real involved in the pleasure and entertainment of the world. It's one of the things that that Jesus spoke of that causes men to lose their soul and chokes their spiritual life out. And you know, we need to recognize these things. If I set this down and I start spending my time there, you know what? It's going to corrupt my spirit. There's going to be things in there most of the time where God cannot sanction that. If He was sitting down with us, would He sanction it? Of course not. And so we find ourselves void of that spiritual fervor and strength. And that's what the Word, I believe, is telling us this morning, teaching us that seek those things which are above. Oh, let there be a purpose in our life that nothing will dissuade us from. A purpose that we follow after. You know, many things spiritually begin to make sense when that's our whole purpose, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. If you just look at something and say, well, what's wrong with that? You can't really say, well, it steals your spiritual fervor. Somebody that's from the world don't even understand that language. But if we want spiritual life inside, spiritual strength, zeal, heat, things that God gives, then we need to withdraw from the things of the world, the things that would cause us trouble in our life. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Lord, just God, give them discernment to know how to use these things. Give them discernment to not get involved in the evil of it. Give them discernment and give them strength, Lord, to be able to make choices for my home and for my life that's going to get me to heaven. Choices that are not going to trip up my children. Choices that are not going to trip up things. Those are choices we have to make. And so, God help us this morning. Romans 12:2 says here, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Excuse me. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I want to read just a couple of other scriptures here in 2 Timothy 3. And starting at verse 1, I'm going to read just a few scriptures here. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." We're warned by the scriptures that there's going to be very dangerous times in the last days. I believe that we're approaching those days. I believe we're in those days. "For men," this is why it's going to be so dangerous. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." We see that on a grand scale today. "Traitors, heady, high-minded," and I'm just giving you mostly the things I feel like the Lord gave me, "lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Not all of these things affect us as much as some of the others, but some things really affect us. And that's one that comes around us pretty close. It says, "lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." But that's not all. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." You know, many times we see people involved fully, without any boundaries, and yet there's no diminishing of of testimony. But yet God is looking on all this thing. We don't want to deny the power of the Lord in our life. I want to just encourage us this morning to not fall into a snare, to not allow things to get in a place by disallowing what the Word tells us, by disallowing that good admonition and advice of those that we know love the Lord. You know, it's important. I highly esteem the advice that the saints give. I highly esteem that. We get caught in a snare and we can't get ourselves out sometimes. It takes an act of God. It takes a miracle. Sometimes it takes friends to help us get out. I saw someone a while back that had been snared, and my children were like, and I'm going to rephrase it so it's not exact, but this is what they were saying. "How did that happen?" They were so amazed. "How did that happen?" I said, "Well, just rebellion. That's all. Because that person, I remember when they were real sweet. I remember when they had a real love for God. But a little rebellion in their heart. That's all. That's what happened. You want to know what happened? It just grew. That's what happened." And so I watched. And you feel for them. You want to help them so bad. But the enemy has stolen so much. Come to steal. Come to steal the peace. Come to steal the dignity of a person. Come to steal those good things that God has entrusted us with. The enemy wants to steal that. But God wants us to be full. He wants our life to be complete. He wants our life to be full of those things that count. Those things that are valuable. That confidence in God. We read the scripture about having faith in God. About faith, about patience. You know, there's something valuable about that. I have seen people go out of this world with perfect confidence in God. You know what, saints? You know how valuable that is? It's of eternal value. But I just want to encourage us this morning. The spirit of the enemy works in the sphere of this world. We don't want to be unaware of it. The spirit of the enemy of all righteousness, the enemy of our soul, works in the sphere of this world. God help us to be able to be fervent, full of the love of God, full of the things of the Spirit of the Lord. I don't believe I'm just preaching something. I believe the Lord has helped us with this. What I'm saying is, I'm not preaching something that I'm not living. I feel like the Lord has given us a portion. I believe, saints, as we allow God to work in our lives, He'll keep us from the snare. He'll keep us from being drawn away into the world. And how did it happen? Many times it's hard to explain. How did it happen? Why? How did they get there? How did that happen? Where did the spiritual life go? Oh, just a little love for the world. And then it compounded and their spiritual apathy crippled. And God wasn't drawn close to them like you. Can you explain all of that? It's kind of hard. But we see it happen, don't we? Oh, how we want the Lord to inflame our lives. Oh, how we want not only to make it to heaven, but to be full of the goodnesses of God. Lord, teach us your ways. Teach us a little glimpse of the value of faith in our life. Teach us a little glimpse of the value of being kind to one another. Teach us a little glimpse of those things that come from above. Give us a glimpse in our life that we might be able to seek those things that are above, those things of righteousness. You know how it establishes and settles some things when there's true godly righteousness involved? When you can say, I know their life, and others say, and others that have had personal dealings can say, I know their life. I know they're not lying to me. I know what's going on because they said so, because they said it. You know the value of those kind of things? Oh, seek those things. Don't let the devil bring up big old black smudges on our name, where there's enough to face already with the devil trying to put one there that's not even there. But don't let unrighteousness, don't let little things that aren't quite what they ought to be, not quite true, not quite business dealings, not quite what it ought to be. You know what? God help us that our life will be full of the goodnesses of God. It's like a flowing well to those around us. It is. You're a flowing well to me when you're full of the Spirit of God, full of His presence, full of the good things of God. Lord, give us a sight, give us a little opening that we can see into that glory of God that You can be in our life. Teach us, Lord. Y'all pray for me.